Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
My home is not on this earth, not in this world.
Good morning. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Spanish mystic, is reputed to have said, "This life is like an overnight stay in an uncomfortable hotel." But anybody get the reference to the uncomfortable hotel? This is a real generational challenge.
Yes.
Oh, yes, results. Today, we're going to look at being strangers in a foreign land and the promise from Jesus of a future country. As followers of Jesus, this around us is not our home, the place we are, where we study and work and laugh and love. This is not where we're destined to live. Not really. We are looking somewhere different, a country of our own. And that means while we're here, we should stand out and not get too settled. We should be excited and awed by our country yet to come. All this was true for those wonderful saints that we've been hearing about in Hebrews 11 over these weeks. And it's true for us today. So as an introduction, I was going to put up some photographs of Yorkshire alongside some photographs of heaven and see if you could tell the difference. But actually, it turned out to be too difficult. So I'm just going to press on to the scriptures. I'm going to recap what Andy read to us last week and press on to the meat of what we've got. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promise. But having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they could have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The story of Abraham, in some ways, is a story of a journey with an unfulfilled promise. This is how this story starts, with a command and a statement of the promise from God. God saying, Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. This sounds like God is talking about the promised land of Israel. And in many ways, I think that's true. Abraham comes out of his birth country, and God will take him on a journey which will never be completed in his lifetime, but Abraham's descendants will eventually cross the Jordan and become a nation. But the final bit of this promise from God is, in you all families of the earth will be blessed. And that's huge, and I'm not sure we have seen that fulfilled yet. A few pages on, or a few swipes in the newfangled stuff, God reinforces this promise. God took Abraham outside and said, now look at the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be. Well, maybe this is poetic language, describing how Abraham would have spiritual descendants throughout the world, throughout history. But if you did want to take this literally, and here's the science bit, the American Population Reference Bureau says the number of people who have ever been born, about 110 billion. The European Space Agency says the number of stars in the heaven is 1,000 billion billion. The promise to Abraham, descendants as numerous as the stars, has not been fulfilled yet. The point of this is that Abraham lived with this unfulfilled promise. It didn't slow him down. It didn't cause him to lose faith, because he was seeking the better country. And it's not just Abraham. It's an ongoing theme through the Bible, those who look to the Lord. After returning from exile, the Old Testament prophets were constantly looking for a new, better homeland for God's people. Jesus, in John's Gospel, says of the people who were following him, they are not of this world. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the saints through the Bible were looking for this new country, a country they could say was their own. Tastes of this have come through history, the Holy Spirit breaking in, moments of revival, the amazing presence of God. But in the end, this promise is for the future. So this is a little bit of an aside, but ponder this thought. Maybe there are promises from God over your life that you will never live to see fulfilled. Sometimes I think it's easy to be too short-term in our thinking. We want God to move now, to do it all now. I find it sobering to consider the medieval cathedral builders of old. Places like York Minster, which I used to cycle past on my way to school when I was noticeably fitter than I am now. This building of worship was started in 1220 and formally consecrated hundreds of years later, in 1472. Those who had the original vision for the cathedral, who drew up the plans, laid the foundations, didn't even come close to seeing it completed. And that didn't stop them. I wonder what I would feel if I was called to help with a church plant that wouldn't thrive for 250 years. The Hebrews 11 heroes did have that sort of faith. I mean, it's good to be on the front foot, wanting God to move, calling on him, praying that his kingdom would break in. But sometimes God's purposes have awesomely long timescales. Matthew Henry, one of my favourite old white dude authors, he wrote that faith should have long arms. This idea that in our spirits we are reaching into the future for what God has promised. So ponder having room in your spirit for long term, maybe for very long term. So our Hebrews 11 heroes of faith understood they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And we've seen that's a theme throughout the Bible. And I think the same is true for us. We have experienced new life in Jesus, but this isn't really our home. I like how John Collins of the Bible Project podcast puts it, in a way we are exiles in time. We are living in the future that God has prepared, the kingdom yet to come. That's our true home. We are strangers right now. So don't be surprised if you don't feel at home here. Because you shouldn't. Philo of Alexandria, who was a Jewish philosopher living in Egypt around the time of Jesus, wrote, "The soul of every wise man has heaven for his country, and the earth is a strange place." Do you ever look around at this society we live in and think, "Gosh, this is a strange place"? Have you ever found yourself in a conversation with people at college or at work and suddenly felt you don't fit in here? Do they laugh at things you would never laugh at? Do you find yourself caring about things that no one around you cares about? There are patterns, ways of thinking in this world that are not for us to be conformed to. We live in this world, we pray for it to have peace and prosperity, but in the end it is not our world. So don't worry if you don't fit in, if at times you think you might be a stranger in a foreign land. Be released this morning to be different. You don't belong to this world anymore. You belong to Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a new creation. Last week, the lady serving my coffee at Costa said to me, because I get into these random conversations, she said, "When I get a box of chocolates, I eat them all really quickly because I might die tomorrow." Now, I think she was sort of joking. But she might as well have quoted scripture, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." That's the spirit of the age without God. And it always has been. We are different to that. Of course, that means if you do fit in, you should be surprised. We should be different. We're meant to be different. We should worry if we are not different. How that difference might look will vary for every one of you very individual people here. Maybe ask your friend this week, are you different enough? And friends, if you're asked that, answer with as much grace and kindness as you can manage. I want to highlight one issue, one particular thing about this difference that I've got from reading Raymond Brown's book, The Message of Hebrews, of course. He quotes the second century Christian writings called The Shepherd of Hermas. You know that as the servants of God, your city is far from this city. If then you know your city in which you are going to dwell, why have you prepared lands and costly establishments? I'm not sure many of you consider costly establishments in your day-to-day, but what he really means is this. This is not our home, so don't accumulate too much stuff. My boss at work, Al, is a lovely Iranian Christian who's now settled in the UK. He tells a story of a very wealthy, very elderly man who lived a few doors down from him. When the old man died, there was much debate on the street about exactly how rich he was. Al says he was chatting to his next-door neighbour, and his neighbour mused, I wonder how much he left in his will. To which Al's response was, well, he left all of it. We leave all of it when we die. In Luke 12, Jesus tells the parable of the rich man who was so successful in business that he had to rent extra space at the storage warehouse in Manchester. The rich man said to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? I love going on holiday with my family to different places around the UK and staying in holiday homes or holiday cottages. I try to look after them, being a good steward, keep them clean and tidy, not break too many glasses. But I would never buy a new piece of furniture for a holiday cottage. I wouldn't pay to have the kitchen remodelled. I wouldn't plant fruit trees in the garden that take 20 years to blossom. It just wouldn't make sense to do these things because I'm not going to be there long enough. That's not my home. We thought earlier God might have very long-term plans for our lives. That's what we hold on to. That's what we build. Here today, we are strangers and exiles. What is the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart? For me, I own a really nice big house, and I'm really incompetently but determinedly fighting the garden into shape. Not very good, I persevere. But my temptation is to pour all my energies into making that a wonderful place for me and my family to live. But that's not wise if it means I lose my sight of the eternal home which Jesus has prepared for me. You lot are clever and hardworking, And you should be rewarded for that hard work. I hope God will bless you with many things through your life. Let God remind you, as he blesses you, beware of storing things up. We are strangers and exiles on this earth, so hold earthly things lightly. All that I've said only really makes sense in the light of the one glorious truth: Jesus will come again. One day, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, with them all, we will get to go home. Just before his betrayal, arrest, trial, and death, Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also will be." Our citizenship is in heaven, our true home, the kingdom of God. If you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian today, if you haven't confessed your wrongdoings and placed your whole life in Jesus' hands, let me tell you what God has prepared for those who love him. The country that we are citizens of right now, the country where we are going, will be awesome. Jesus is going to establish it, and Jesus is going to receive us there. As certain as I am that Jesus loves me and has forgiven me, I am certain we will see him face to face when he brings us home. No one quite knows how it's going to happen. There might be fire, wind, trumpets, earthquakes, battles, but Jesus will make it happen. One of the most evocative descriptions of this, of what our true country will be like, is given in Revelation 21, where Jesus gave his friend John a glimpse into the future that God has prepared. John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" That is our destination. A kingdom of peace. Sea in that scripture represents chaos, wild, unpredictable danger. Jesus didn't walk on the water just because he didn't like getting his feet wet. He was crushing ungodly chaos under his heel. We will never be afraid in our new home. It will be a kingdom of beauty. There are places in this world already of breathtaking delight and wonder. But there are plenty of places, especially when mankind has been at work, that are dark and oppressive. There will be nothing like that in our new home. Nothing that makes our hearts sink. It will be a kingdom of intimacy. We catch glimpses of spiritual wonders sometimes in this life, but it's like a reflection in a dull, stained mirror. In the new kingdom, our Father God will live and we will be with him. No more veil. We shall know even as we are known. We will see his smile of welcome and acceptance and love, and we will walk together with him in the cool of the day. It will be a kingdom of joy. My children struggle at college and at school. I have friends with problems with work, with relationships, with family, with health, with money. I don't know if I'm going to be made redundant this year. It's not that life is full of despair, although for some people it is, but over and over again it feels like in this world we will have trouble. And that's even before we turn on the news and look at the world around us. We long for joy. He will wipe away every tear when we go home. And it will be a kingdom of life. The last enemy, death, defeated. The fear and pain it brings, done away with. We who believe in Jesus shall never perish but have eternal life. We get glimpses of this as God's rule breaks into this world. But we're not content with that. C.S. Lewis wrote of worldly beauty and peace and joy, these are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, the news from a country we have never yet visited. Let me finish with this. When Jesus returns, which he most surely will you be one of his? Will he sweep you into his kingdom, a place prepared for you? If you're not sure, be sure. Make yourself one of Jesus' people this morning. Put your life in his hands. Trust your future to him. This world will not last. Become a citizen of the world to come. And for those of us who have already given our lives to Jesus, can I encourage you, be full of delight and amazement and worship and joy. Don't become too comfortable. Hold this world lightly. We won't be in this uncomfortable hotel forever. God has prepared something better for you because he loves you. Thank you.